Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Gonna pop in here for a couple minutes, I can say hello to you. Mr. Wonstadt.
Dave Wonstadt.
Shane, wake up.
NFL head coach for 11 years.
The Bears came in here and Dave Wonstadt. There's a happy group of overachievers that have been well coached.
College football national champion.
A number of legends here tonight. Dave Wonstadt.
Super Bowl champion.
Dave Wonstadt, one of my, you know, really idols.
Football analyst for NBC Sports Chicago.
Shane Reardon is here. He's going to be pouring old fashions.
Don't cut your finger.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Yeah, Shane's bleeding.
Shane, oh, my God.
Don't put that blood. I know what's in your blood. Don't let that drip in my drink.
Here we go.
Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Dave Wonstadt is always available unless he's doing something. Today, he's not doing something. So we're cracking some Iron City Light. Spiegs, the radio pro, waited to crack his until he could do it into the mic.
Dave and I
did it in the commercial break.
Hey, Spiegs, speaking of Iron City, how about the Buccos? They little better this year, huh?
Pirates? A ton better.
Yeah.
They got a lot of good, fun young players, Coach.
Yeah, and the only reason I follow them now, because obviously they're in the same division as the Cubs, you know?
Yeah. Sure.
So that's a big...
Longtime Pirates fan, Dave Wonstadt here.
Absolutely. Dick Groat just passed away about a month ago.
Yeah, I had heard that.
You know who Dick Groat is?
Longtime Bucks announcer and incredible player.
Played at Duke.
Yeah.
Started on the basketball team at Duke and then baseball. Yep.
Started 20-8 and now are 28-27.
Okay. So it's
is that what they are?
Yeah. Yeah. It's going the wrong direction, Coach.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No.
But they got a lot of good young players.
Absolutely.
And you should have fun. Baseball can be about fun. But look,
how about Tanny bringing back the Iron City Light, though?
Boy, Tanny, this is strong. You know?
And you see his hat?
You know what? Tony Wise is coming in. I'm going on a little trip here. When am I leaving? Saturday, I guess. So when I get back, Tony's coming in town for a week. I should have him throw me a case in. I'm going to do that. Remind me, Tanny.
Can you bring Tony in here?
Oh, I'll bring Tony in. Tony's going to be here for a week.
Yeah, but not with the morning show, just us.
Well, you know, here's the deal. Tony's not going to want to talk football. Does anybody here qualified to talk hockey?
Shane.
Okay.
Shane's a big hockey
guy. Shane, you
guy.
Got it, because Tony...
Yeah, I watched the game last week.
He does not miss a hockey. He'll watch hockey 4 nights a week. Okay.
Really? Oh, I know. God, give him the morning show then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tony wants to talk Searchers with us.
Yeah. I'll watch Searchers by the next time he comes in.
I just want to talk to Tony about cleaning up the cans on Jimmy Johnson's boat.
Yeah,
that's thing.
Somebody asked him about the offensive lineman Leatherwood. Remember? Was that this show?
Alex
was
Leatherwood.
And he, oh, God.
Not a lot of thoughts.
Not a lot.
Yeah, I remember that moment. Yeah, that was a thing that happened. What did you get, Shane?
Alex Leatherwood. I mean, yeah. Please.
I know.
That's the scrap heap.
Amazing.
Kenny, really? How did you do that?
He's the best.
I drive to Pittsburgh tonight to get you guys more IC lights. Say the word.
I'm going to, Tony's driving on. I'm getting my.
How about a road trip with Tony Wise?
Oh, God. Yeah, listening to a bunch of Frank Sinatra, and absolutely, I've done that.
That sounds good to us. We're in.
Yep.
You hung
Whose
out with.
Whose car are we taking?
Yeah. You hung out with Matt Eberflus in practice on Tuesday. Was it yesterday?
It was yesterday. I had a great day up there. Him and Ryan Poles, I'll tell you what, and the entire staff. I mean, they, and I say this being humble because they don't have to do it, but I have not felt as welcome around the Bears as I have with this regime. I mean, and they go out of their way. I mean, you know, Flus texts me the dates that they're practicing, what days are best. And, you know, and then we got all Janoco and Luke and all those guys up there. But, I mean, and then Ryan Poles came up. We stood there and talked for an hour, but went through positions.
Wow.
He was outstanding. And just so – yeah, I'm a fan, and I think maybe they know that we've been supportive, you know. So they, but they're building from the ground up. I mean, they really are. I tell you some things that jumped at me.
Before you get to that, Coach, okay. This the fact that they're open,
right,
to and welcoming to you. They have obviously done this with former players,
yeah.
And it's an interesting thing, but also like when they. Paul's talking to you for an hour and giving you that means that can inform your job and what you share with us, what you share with the listeners. It's smart to give that access in that way.
100%. I mean, you know, when I would do all these TV shows and stuff, I'd call the coach and say, what's your message? What do you want out there? You know, I mean, it helps me get informed exactly what they're looking at, what they're thinking. You know, and there aren't really many secrets at this point. You know, I mean, really, it you know, in the NFL, I mean, it's so it was good. I mean, I was down on the field. I moved from drill to drill. I mean, they gave me total access to go do what I wanted to do. It was really good.
Do they say anything to you that is negative? Or is it all...
No, I mean, no, you know, like,
there are bad parts of the team.
I think they're very realistic. You do?
Oh, 100%.
You know, just from the standpoint that they know the key defensively. I mean, they're excited. I'll tell you what, guys, the Stevenson kid from Miami, he picked one off and ran it back. Velus Jones, a little receiver, you know, he pressed up on him.
That's a big man, Velus Jones.
He couldn't get off the line of scrimmage against Stevenson. This guy is a player. This kid from Miami, and I'll tell you what it does. They run a scheme on defense that's very sophisticated for the most important player is the nickelback. In other words, what they do to try to keep it simple is most teams run a receiver across the field. We all see that. If the defensive back goes with them, everybody says they're in man coverage. Well, the coverages that Flus and them do up at the Bears, and I think he was on the front end of this stuff, really, down in Indianapolis, they can run their corner over. And they can play a two-deep zone. They can play a two-man. They can play a cover one. They can play a cover three. And that puts – what does that do? That totally confuses the quarterback. You know, he's not sure, is it man, is it zone? So now he's got to take a little bit more time to make a decision. And what – but that puts a big burden on that nickelback, and that's Kyler Gordon. Mm-hmm. And last year, Gordon was trying to play corner. He was at nickel. So now, you know, and I asked Ryan, I said, well, how much nickel do you play? And he says, we're 70%, 75% nickel, you know, because of the way the three wide receivers and the type of offenses. So now if Stevenson come on and play the Jalen Johnson on one side, you got Stevenson on the other side, and now Gordon can be exclusive nickelback, that's really going to help their defense.
I mean, that's the plan.
Yeah.
Right? It's a young secondary.
Oh, very young, talented. They were flying around, a lot of energy. It reminds me, and I told Flus this, I says, you know, don't take this the wrong way. I said, but God, your practices, you know, I have flashbacks to our early Dallas days when everybody would say, you guys are practicing like a college team, you know? And he says, hey, coach, that's the way we practice. He says, you know, I got 17 years or whatever, you know, a bunch of years in college. We practice, and they fly around. They're not anybody sitting on a helmet. You know what I mean? It's coaches are going 90 miles an hour, and the players are keeping up with them. So it's high intensity, a lot of energy practice. It really is.
When you say they're realistic, Like, what do you mean about how long it's going to take, or what?
I think the two positions are going to be offensive line and defensive line. And I'll tell you what, I never was up close to the guy and saw him work, but Jenkins, okay, the big
Tevin Jenkins,
Tevin Jenkins,
left guard.
He is a giant, and he is having a great camp. If he can keep his head on straight, I'm telling you, with Whitehair at center, you got Jenkins at left guard, you got the free agent Davis at right guard.
Who's not there.
The other guy who I was really impressed with, Braxton Jones at left tackle, he's not a big, height-wise, he's got height. But I said to, I don't know if it was Flus or one of the two of them, I said, he looks great. I mean, he's not a big sloppy lineman, and he was pulling. They were doing things with him, moving around. He really looks like he is in fantastic shape.
Well, that's his calling card, is being able to pull and being able to move and be athletic. Where he got beat last year was in bull rushes. So Supposedly he's been working on that all offseason. You seeing any strength from him as you watch?
Well, they can't do anything live. You know, if you go live, then all of a sudden you get penalized. Mm-hmm. And then you got the rookie, right over at right tackle. So, and he looked good, for what you could see. But the guys that jumped out at me were and then I will say this for Bear fans out there, DJ Moore made three catches that I hadn't seen a Bear receiver make, in 3 years, really. I mean, this guy is a player.
Yeah, he's really good.
And they're – he's experienced enough that they can move him around.
What kind of catches, Coach? Because there's no defense out there and no pads.
They were going full. They were going a 2 minute drill. No linemen are hitting or anything, but it was full speed coverage. 7-on-7 type of full speed 2 minute with the clock. Hurry up and just laying out to. I mean, he laid out to make two catches and fingertip catches. Stuff like that you don't coach. I mean, that's you either have that stuff or you don't. So I think they're doing backflips over him. And I tell you what, they threw a couple balls to our man Tyler Scott, the little receiver from Cincinnati. He made two guys. Every time he caught the ball, he made somebody miss. So, whether he's going to be a return guy or not, but, I mean, you got to get this guy the football.
Those are the kind of guys that always look good when there's no pads on, right?
Absolutely.
Because it's all about speed, quickness, agility. Those are the guys who look good. Like Tariq Cohen was a great OTA minicamp player. When I was in Kansas City, Dexter McCluster. I was like, this guy's like the best player I've ever seen.
And they were good players. They were good players, right?
Yeah, but the problem was sometimes they get hit.
Yeah.
And, they're like if they're smaller, well, and they get hit, it's harder to build up.
Yeah, that's the downside. I mean, no question. But they're going to make some plays too,
Yes, they will make plays.
And Cohen made a lot of plays here when the Bears weren't very good. So I was encouraged, but I think going back to your point, Danny, I think they're realistic that they know this offensive line is going to take some time, a little bit of time. They're not there yet. And I think defensive line, I mean, they have definitely – they're big. They have added size, which I think will help them on the run. But I think they're realistic to say that we don't have a Khalil Mack rushing the passer. That guy is not on this football team. And whether they can add a veteran late, a veteran guy – the tendency has been they want youth right now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. A lot of teams, I remember when we added Charles Haley at the Dallas Cowboys, it was after training camp. We wanted to go through training camp. And I remember the conversation, hey, let's not jump the gun on anybody. We got a little bit of money. Let's get through training camp and assess where we're at. And we were having beers. Me, Jimmy, North Turner, Tony was probably there. Somebody
had to grab the cans.
I'm trying to remember. I'm sure he was there.
Were you guys in a championship window though? Because that's
hell no. We were coming off a 9-win season.
Oh, okay. So. Well, because that's what's tricky to figure out about the edge rusher. Like, there's so many veteran guys, whether it's Frank Clark or Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah. See, I could see them coming out of training camp, and we sat around and we were having some beers and saying, "Well, where are we at? Okay, We got 1 week of camp. We're starting. We're three and I remember saying we had Jim Jeffcoat and Tony Talbert. They were two tough guys, defensive ends, and they were 5, 6, 7 sacks maybe a year. Mm-hmm. Jeffcoat was at the end of his career, and I said we just don't, Jimmy. We're pressuring more than I'm comfortable with, and we had that discussion, and hell, a week later. Jimmy walks in, he's got Charles Haley. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, it helps.
So that kind of stuff, I think sometimes you want to wait and see, because all these veteran guys out there, they all want long-term contracts. You know, you mentioned Clark, and I don't know who else is out there. Clowney, I think, is still out
Clowney's
there, right?
Still there.
Guys like that.
Justin Houston.
Yannick Ngakoue.
They're all looking for 2-3 year contracts with guaranteed money up. Big butt signing bonuses. And
Robert
stuff.
Quinn is out there.
Yeah, you know, guys.
But they're not going to get that.
They're not going to get that, but
right
now.
But they're going to wait, is your point.
They're going to wait right now, and I think the Bears are going to wait, because once you get to that last week of preseason, they want a paycheck, mm-hmm. and the Bears now say, you know what, we'll give you a 1-year deal. I mean, that's still, I think, you know, out there.
So I wanted to ask you about something which has been rolling around with a lot of people. I thought Bill Barnwell put it really well on ESPN when he was talking about paying Tremaine Edmonds, hoping to get the ball production that he hasn't had in Buffalo. Really incredibly athletic and skilled, but Edmonds hasn't been consistently great as a pro. This feels like a case of a team paying a player for what it wants him to be, opposed to what he's likely to be, which usually doesn't end well. So I guess my question is, how can you get a linebacker to be more productive in terms of fumbles and interceptions and key plays like that when that's not what his early history has shown us?
Well, it depends on, you know, if he's going to be forced to take on blockers or run to the football. If you're running a scheme where he's running to the football, then you're going to expect him to make 100-plus tackles a year. I mean, or you can't survive. I mean, you know, we used to always say that. Oh, they'd say, oh, Zach Thomas is he's 120 tackles a year. You know, and I said, well, if he ain't making 120 tackles a year, we ain't going to play good defense. You know, just the scheme that we played. And I think the Bears are very similar to that mentality of their four guys stirring it up and containing those four, you know, five guys up front and let your linebackers run and make tackles. So I'm just guessing that. But as far as teaching a guy that all of a sudden he's going to come here and he's going to learn how to strip the ball and get that's not going to happen. But I'll tell you what, Edmonds is a great looking guy. God, he's a giant. I mean, for a linebacker, he's got the length. You know, it's funny you say that. Yesterday I was, I don't know what I was reading it, and it was Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan said, this game has changed. And he said, we didn't get paid until we proved what we were worth. Hmm. And he was talking about these young NBA players now that are getting paid. And he says, they're getting paid on the front end for the potential, just what you said, you know, potential of what these general managers and owners think this kid's going to do in the NBA. He says, we were paid. We had to earn it. We were paid on what we did, and they could see it.
There's some hating going on there, and like the money.
Oh, no question.
And the money just has gone up so much.
And a natural generational progression.
But like, it jumped in my mind, Danny.
What you're saying makes sense.
When Speak said, are they paying Edmonds
for what they want him to be?
Thank you. You know,
No. That makes sense. And he had the benefit of being a very good player who came into the league young and hit free agency young. So he got paid young.
Mm-hmm.
Like he isn't a finished product,
right?
Hopefully.
Right.
But he's crazy talented. So yeah, they are still betting on the come a little bit.
Yeah, and it's the biggest expenditure of their offseason when they had a lot of money to spend.
What? So these are voluntary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the players then get a little bit of heat from fans and media when they're not there.
Hell yeah.
And the coaches say, we want everybody there.
Hell yeah.
But you can't find them because it's voluntary. Like, does it matter to you that Jalen Johnson or Nate Davis or Eddie Jackson or whomever is not there? What matters and what doesn't on that front?
Well, Nate Davis, I mean, you know, being new, I mean, you know, if somebody hired, this is a job, right? Nate Davis just got hired by the Bears to, you know, with a new job. I mean,
yeah.
You know, in my mind, and I'm a little bit of the old school, we just paid you. We just hired you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, get to work. It's time to get to work here. You know, now, Jalen Johnson, I mean, I can get that. I mean, he's a veteran player. He knows the system. He's going to be here. You know, I mean, there's been good communication with him. That one really doesn't bother me. But Nate Davis, you signed somebody new. God, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, you take a job, they give you well, this is the first thing on the agenda.
That's certainly my reaction to it, and it's that's interesting. I don't know what their reaction is. Like,
I would just like, you know,
does a player have to reach out and give an explanation? Like he does.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Does a coach expect that?
I'm on 100%. I'm on the phone the first day saying, "Hey, Nate, you know, where are you at? You know, we're trying to build this thing here."
Do you talk to him about it?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
No.
You were there for an hour talking to everybody.
No, but I'm saying yeah, that's not how Nate Davis to
Eberflus.
To the polls.
Yeah. No. But that's just how I would react. Like I say, we're trying to get some things done here, and he's a, you know, I'm sure he's got a good reason. I mean, the communication, I'm sure, has been there, but
they're different though, right? Because like it's different.
Aaron Rodgers in New York, isn't he? I mean, you know, think about, you know.
Yeah.
First year with a new team, new system.
Thank you.
I'd be interested in wondering how many offensive players in a new system were not at voluntary OTAs.
Yeah, but it's a.
I mean,
this is not a quarterback.
What's the reason? That's it. See, I don't know. What's
I don't know.
That's what we got
to
find.
They don't
out.
Have to say so. I feel like this rule, the fact that it's voluntary, but boy, it'd be great to see it. It puts players in a trick bag, and the owners don't really care necessarily because the players are the ones who look bad or not, so they're okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's there's got to. I'm sure there is great communication, but. I don't know. I'm sure he's got a reason. It would bother me a lot.
Did it bother you?
Yes.
Did you have players who didn't show up for voluntary things when you were a coach?
No. No, yeah. It's just too important, you know, and you sell the kid on it and, you know. And
was it even voluntary back then?
It's a good question.
Was it mandatory minicamp or voluntary?
It really didn't matter in my mind. You know, I mean, we had a chance to be on the field. I mean, what do you only have so many days.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they're breaking. I know their schedule. They're going to break in, 2 weeks, I think, and then everybody gets a month off.
Yeah.
And then they come back and report to training camp and get going.
So you had guys you had to lean on a little bit, say, hey, by the way, it would be nice. I'd like to see you. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, I can't remember. I mean, I'm sure there's every team has a few guys like that, for sure.
Mm.
All right. Well, I want to talk to you about whatever gift it is that you got Shane, but also –
That was my wife, Jan. I had nothing to do with that.
All right, well, we got that clear. Okay. A gift from Jan to Shane.
Oh, that's lovely.
And I wonder if the coaches already know if Justin Fields has taken a leap or not. Like, I don't think we as the fans or media are going to know for a few weeks into the season, but I'm wondering if you think that they already know. Dave Wannstedt was at Bears practice yesterday, next on The Score.
Dave Wannstedt.
And I'm always available unless I'm doing something.
With Parkins and Spiegel on 670 The Score.
All right, we'll get to the Justin Fields in just a second. What did you bring Shane from Jan?
Well, she felt so bad when Shane cut his finger, making me a drink. I'll accept that. That she got these gloves that apparently you can wear these gloves as you are cooking.
Wow.
And they have a demonstration where a guy's got a hacksaw and he can't cut it. If he has his gloves on, he cannot cut a finger off.
Oh, so she's protecting you.
So Shane can wear these gloves now and he can go to town on his Manhattan.
That is such a thoughtful gift by Jan. And
Shane, do they work? Look at, he's got them on.
I don't have a knife with me. I can go get one.
Yeah, go get one and try to cut your finger off.
I'll go get a knife.
How many times have you cut yourself while cooking or being a bartender?
So this is five.
Yeah, well, you need the gloves in.
The nurses at that hospital make the joke, we should give you a punch card, that kind of thing.
Oh, there you go.
I'm going to go get a knife. I'll be right back.
Well, that's solved.
It's an incredible gift. Seriously.
I didn't know they made stuff like that.
Yeah.
Did she? She must have done the research.
Who knows?
Figured it out.
But that's very thoughtful.
Yes.
That's a very nice gift.
The drink was good. You didn't even taste the blood, did you? Didn't even notice.
I watched. I knew exactly what everything was.
Keep that blood to yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so Shane's going off to cut off his finger, and we can get back.
To prove that he can't cut off his
whatever
finger.
Whatever happens.
It's you're like good with either result.
Just be sure he does it on camera, whichever happens. So what are we going here for? You're going to try to cut your hand?
Yeah, I'm going to put the glove on and go ahead and hack away at my hand there for a second. The brand of the glove, by the way, is No Cry.
Oh,
which I'd like to be clear. I didn't do that anyway when this happened.
I would have. You did not. It was very impressive.
Danny, you were crying all that day, but that's just because you didn't have the schedule.
Yeah, for not breaking the schedule. Thanks. Yeah. Can you cut the glove?
What is he doing? He's trying to stick his knife in his fingers.
I'm definitely getting... It's definitely puncturing the glove.
Oh, wait. Can you cook with those on, though? Can you multitask? That's the question.
I think you and Jan got a bad deal here, Bubba.
Oh,
wow.
We're slicing this glove in half. All right.
Well, I mean, there's no blood.
Well, I mean, are you going to try? Not your hand. You're not really going to do that when you're cooking, are you?
You're not going to stab your hand.
Right?
Depends what cuisine we're working with.
Okay. Well, you figure out whether or not it's a glove that can be cut with a very sharp knife.
I'll try it later.
Okay.
And thank you, Dave.
Thank Jan.
So
thank you, Jan.
The Bears coaches were saying all of the right things about Justin Fields. Looks great, footwork, leadership, understanding of the offense is next level, all of that stuff. We have seen in recent NFL history, quarterbacks, if they're going to be special, they either are special second year in the league or third year in the league, second year in a system. Because it's like a new language, right? It takes time to master a system, right? Mahomes is an MVP his second year. Lamar's an MVP his second year. Deshaun Watson had his 5,000-yard season his second year. But guys like Jared Goff, and I know it ended up being inconsistent for him, but Carson Wentz, his MVP year before he got hurt, was third year in the league, second year in the system. So this is third year in the league, second right. year. There will be an expectation that Justin Fields takes a leap this year. I have said on the air, we will probably know a couple games into the year because he's going to show it. Like maybe he has a bad game. Maybe there's a bad matchup. Maybe it's right. bad weather, whatever. But give us a couple of games and we'll be able to tell with our eyes, is this different than last year? My question is, do you think the coaches already know? Or are they also wondering live game action? Like, do they need the game reps also, or do they already know whether or not he's taken the leap?
No, I think they know right now. Has he improved? Has he got a grasp of the offense? Has he, got command of a huddle, so to speak? And I think those things are all absolutely he does. I mean, you could see him out there when they got in a 2-minute drill, and that's usually a pretty good indication of where the quarterback. Now, keep in mind, no full speed pass rush, and that separates guys. That, pressure is the thing.
It bursts pipes.
That bursts pipes. Exactly right. Good way to put it. But I mean, when they got in a no huddle situation, he was in total command. He moving receivers around, shifting guys, calling plays, was getting the ball out quick, was getting the ball to the right guys. I mean, he really looked good. I mean, now, I think that if you ask the Bears coaches, they would say, yeah, at this point, he's done everything he can do. Now we got to start playing for real. And when it happens for real, we're going to be optimistic. But
So they need the blitzes and the game plan and all that to really know.
100%. Okay. No question. And I think the biggest thing that I hope that the expectations with Bear fans are with Justin Fields, and this is just my opinion, are there expectations? Absolutely. But I hope it's realistic expectations. You know what I mean?
You're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That the
in terms of the numbers, because we talk about that.
Yeah, let's not say we got to have Aaron Rodgers numbers. You know what I mean? Out of Justin Fields this year. But if he can make a jump, and it's just really going to be about the passing game. You know, that's really all anybody really cares about at this point. We know what he can do athletically. You know what he can do run the ball. I just hope that that we don't jump the gun too quick on him and that we're realistic and we're somewhat reasonable. I think that's the word. Reasonable expectation.
Reasonable Bears fans. It's like jumbo shrimp.
Sure.
Delicious. It, the oxymoron of descending escalator, permanent talk show host, that kind of stuff. Okay.
I'm fired today, Speaks.
Yeah, well.
Where's Speaks? He's here.
Coach, I think we
Like really? Jumbo shrimp. What? Give me that one again.
It's an oxymoron where that two words, they make something
that's in conflict.
It doesn't make sense. Right. Jumbo shrimp. Descending escalator is my favorite of all those. But like last year, I thought we worked really hard, Danny, to try.
Did we?
Yeah, I think we did. To try and watch the quarterback play independent of the stats from a given game. And help the listeners do the same. And you've got an entire Bears fan populace that is ready to watch him with the same lens because the numbers should jump. And in the end, we'll look at the numbers. But if a given week is 170 yards passing and 65 yards rushing and they win the game, or even if they don't win the game, he makes a lot of good decisions and you're seeing that quick trigger. You're seeing him go to the first guy. You're seeing him dump it off if need be, keep the ball out of harm's way. I think I have, maybe it's misguided faith, but I have faith in Bears fans to identify that. What it looks like for him to take a leap.
So. I hope he does that, and I hope that Bears fans react that way. I really do. I mean, I will tell you this, you know, as I said, receivers made plays yesterday that are going to give him a chance, you know, so that's going to be a positive. And I'll tell you, the sleeper of the free agency, Robert Tonyan.
Really?
I'm telling you guys, this guy, you know, Cole Kmet is, I mean, they got two tight ends that can play. Robert Tonyan, you know, is a different guy. You flex him out and move him out. He gets against a wide receiver, against a strong safety, he can have a advantage, you know, I mean, and that can put some pressure on a defense when you have a tight end that you can do that with. And, so I'll be anxious to see how they use them. But I could it's not out of my mindset. And I didn't see this. No one told me this. But if I'm just looking at their offensive personnel, and I could very easily see Mooney and Moore, DJ Moore, you know, or Claypool, whoever, and two tight ends. I could see them going to a lot more two tight end offense.
Because they both can block.
To get their best players on the field and most reliable. I mean, Tonyan, how they got him, I mean, that really was a great deal, I think, in a free agent market.
Okay. I mean, listen, you know, you forgot
what about don't you like? What don't you like about him?
He has one impressive statistical season, and he's played with Hall of Fame quarterback his entire career, and he's almost 30. Right. And he's not new to the NFL.
Right.
He's never averaged more than 11 yards per catch.
Right.
He has one 11 touchdown season. Every other year it's been two or one touchdowns. Like he's not that productive as a pass catcher in his time in the NFL. And he played with Aaron Rodgers.
Might be right. I mean,
so that everyone always says, like, he's such a good player. He's such a good player. If you want to talk about, like, blocking and professionalism, and, like, I'm sure he's great. But when you talk about that stuff.
Yeah, the injury is the only thing that bothered me, but the production didn't. And now what you're saying, you're making a good point, though. I can't argue that.
Like, why wasn't he more productive when he had Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball? And it's not like, other than Devontae Adams, there were studs on that receiver core.
Right.
Out there, you know, Rodgers made a lot of guys look really, really good, and Tonyan never looked anything other than average, except the 1 year touchdown wise. But we've seen, I mean, Chase Claypool had 10 receiving touchdowns as a rookie, right? Like you can have like a kind of fluky touchdown season.
Yeah, as a former Tonyan owner in fantasy football, I remember those kind of stretches like you're talking about. But now you've got me curious, Danny, about how productive historically the tight end spot is in the Rodgers Green Bay offense. This is the number one wide out and a lot of running backs. A
lot of running backs.
You know, getting the catch.
Yeah,
so,
no, sure.
When they get down near the goal line, they want to run that ball.
All right, so now there's going to be someone who leaves Aaron Rodgers and is more productive as a pass catcher. Okay. I mean, maybe. We talked to Joe Girardi last week about you, by the way.
Yeah, we did.
Your real estate agent, Joe Girardi.
He loves you.
My man.
Yeah.
Joe.
So you guys were neighbors.
Oh, I love Wani.
Neighbors. He hooked you up with condos.
And
then he said he never saw you because the life of a football coach was too demanding. You were out the door at 5 a.m., home at 11 p.m. You worked too hard, Dave.
Sick. Stupid. I know. No, it was crazy. The builder that built our house had three, built three homes in Lake Forest, Joe's, Scottie Pippen's, and mine. And so we went over and looked at Scottie's, and then he was selling on Joe. You know, Joe was still playing then.
Yeah.
It's Joe is such a great human being, great coach, was a great player. We're having a Christmas party at my house. I'm coaching the Bears. So I got the staff over, and I don't know, you know, everybody. You know, when I say staff, it was the equipment guys, trainers, open door. Come on over to the house. That's just how we did things. And so Joe was invited over, and he's the next door neighbor. And so him and Kim, his wife, are come over. And there is a Sports Illustrated lying on my kitchen counter. And Joe was catching that. He was a backup catcher for the Yankees, I guess, or, you know, I don't know how it worked out. But it was in the World Series. It might have been Game 6 or Game 7.
Wow.
And he's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. And it's sitting there, and he's talking with coaches and stuff. And I'm thinking to myself, half these people don't even realize that that guy is that guy. You know what I mean? And Joe is so humble and such a great man that he's, you know, he's just having a beer or whatever, glass of wine, and we're just talking football and talking Bears. And I don't know if anybody even mentioned the Yankees, you know? I think they won the World Series that year. I think they may have.
Unbelievable.
But yeah, but he's...
How was Pippen?
And then Scotty was... Well, I didn't really... didn't get to know Scotty until I'm coaching the Dolphins, and I ran into him at a club, and he was had his big boat down there then in Fort Lauderdale. So I invited him to a game. Okay.
Of course. And then, of course, you got a Pippen story.
Which is unbelievable.
And the next thing I know, every week it's a text. Hey, coach, and you know, and Scotty's not showing up by himself. Okay. So we had Scotty and whoever he had with him in the box, and
every week?
No, not every week, but I'm kidding. You know,
yeah, I mean, yeah, but enough.
Lots of weeks.
More than
once. But that's really when I got to know Scotty a little bit, was you know, when he was done and I was in Miami, and he was, I don't know if he had a house down there, but he was into boating. He had a huge boat down there, big yacht or something, you know.
Nicer boat than Jimmy?
You know what? He invited me on it a bunch, but I just never made it, you know? Well, you know, speaking of baseball, you know who was in our box more than Scottie Pippen was Sammy Sosa.
Down in Florida?
Down in the Dolphins.
Wow.
Yeah, makes sense.
So, you know, Dusty Baker and I have a little relationship. So when Dusty was coaching the Cubs, I'm down in the dugout before the game with my kids and Jan, and we're BSing, and we're going to, and then Dusty says, come on in. Let me introduce you to Sammy and some of the guys. So I go in, you know, and that's the locker room for the game. And Sammy's in there, and he comes out. He's got a dozen of 500. That's when he's got his 500th hit.
Yeah,
he speaks.
I'm giving you some baseball.
Yeah, yeah, you are.
And so he signs these golf balls, these baseballs for us. So so we're BSing, and I said, hey, call me sometime. You know you live in Miami. Sure enough, here comes Sammy, you know, and Sammy doesn't show up by himself either. God bless Jan, because she took all the calls, you know, and I didn't, and that was...
This is an incredible wife.
Yeah, it really is.
So we had Sammy, and we had Scotty, and...
So you're saying they had more than a plus one.
And then Pat Riley, you know, he got in, you know, Pat and I became friends. I went down... talked to the Bulls back then, and he came up and talked to the Dolphins, so Jan and I would get on and sit on a bench down there for the Bulls games, and
of course,
and Pat would come up to games. And
you guys have the same hair product?
Him and his
wife.
You and
Pat Riley? You guys have the same hairstyle.
We are both Motown guys.
Oh, really? He's a big Motown guy.
A great little line with Pat. I texted him one time. He obviously was still coaching, and I said, hey, what are you doing? I forget what was going on. Something stupid, you know. And I texted him. I said, what are you doing? And we were both drinking a lot of red wine back then and so forth.
Yeah, back then.
And I said, what are you doing? You and Ton. There was a charity thing or something going on. I was trying to see if he was going to go to it. And he texts me. He says, you know what I'm doing? He says, I've got a glass of red wine. I'm on my boat in Malibu, out in Malibu, California. And I'm listening to Marvin Gaye and thinking, what's going on with the Chicago, with the Miami Heat? He says, I'm wondering what's going on, you know. And
you guys still quote, like, do you text him congrats on making the finals?
You know what? I have not. I haven't talked to Pat or anybody down there, in a long time. I have not.
All right.
since he's been coaching. Really.
He doesn't need to. He'll just move on to whichever. next amazing circle of celebrities.
Did see him though when they won those games. He still looks good. You know.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah,
and he's kind of got a football mentality. You know, he was drafted by the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah,
and so when he talked to our team and he talks about basketball, I mean, he's tough. It's about defense and it's getting in guys' face and it's.
That's the way he coached.
He's the best, yeah. He's fantastic.
He's not the best. You're the best.
Wani, enjoy Italy. Thank you for coming in.
Okay. I'm out of here. See ya.
Well, I mean, it's been 45 minutes, Dave.
Did I?
Yeah, you want to stay? You can stay.
No, okay. Where's my timesheet? I'm turning into Mitch. All right. I'll see you guys. When I come back, maybe Tony Wise will be with me.
All right.
We'll be waiting.
Parkinson Spiegel on the score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Are you kidding me? Tune in to Twitch.
Afternoons on the score.
Amazing stuff with Dave Wanstead, as always. We're going to talk some Cubs at 5 o'clock and a story that's going to dominate the Chicago discourse for the next 4 days or so after that. Then you can get some questions in for one last thing. But I saw something, because Dave was talking about how, you know, he's been here through a lot of Bears regimes, and this regime made him feel more welcomed than any of the other ones. And we've heard other stories about that, right? Charles Tillman being invited back to speak multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to Pat Manley about it and some of the outreach that they've done since Ryan Poles has been here. And it seems like that they've made a real concerted effort with Eberflus and Poles to reach out to like the Bears alumni network, which, great, that'll make people feel good. But then there's also like the culture of the organization, and Kevin Warren is here, and we're thinking about stuff like in that regard. But they put something out on social media that just really impressed me. Did you see the story about Cooper Roberts, the young boy, 8 years old, who was shot in the Highland Park 4th of July shooting, and he's paralyzed from the waist down?
Yeah, he hopes to walk again someday, but it's going to be a long road. One of the bullets severed his spinal cord.
Yeah, so apparently his favorite thing to do is go to the beach, and there's not a lot of wheelchair accessible beaches. And then obviously, even if you can get down or onto a beach, wheelchairs and sand, not what they're designed for. So the Bears, and they put it all on social media, but like Matt Eberflus, Ryan Poles, and Justin Fields were right there with him, and the whole team. It was after practice. They opened up like the sliding garage door or whatever to one of their indoor, I don't know if it was a workout area or whatever, and they had covered the whole thing in sand, and they got him a beach accessible, like it looked like a hovercraft, but it was a sand accessible wheelchair.
Yeah, they partnered with this company called Devices for the Disabled, and they joined forces to present young Cooper with that wheelchair specifically made for the sand. And all the people and the players and Poles and Eberflus you mentioned were there. Justin Fields apparently was pushing Cooper along in his wheelchair.
The video legitimately made me cry.
I got chills right now.
I was crying last night. I was like sobbing I'm watching the Ted Lasso finale. That ends. It didn't really move me. And then
so you look for something else?
And then I get on Twitter and this is the first thing I see. And then I see this and I reached out to someone over at the Bears and they were saying that that organization, Devices for the Disabled, was the winner of the Bears 2020 Community All-Pro grant where they got like $101,000. So the Bears have been involved with this organization for, as I understand it, going back for longer than this particular story. So that's how they maybe saw the story about Cooper and made the connection.
I don't know about that grant. That sounds like an amazing program. It's nice to know organizations are doing that kind of stuff.
Well, because I remember they made a remember all of the teams in town got together, led by Sam Acho and George McCaskey,
yes.
And like to do investments within like the Chicago community. They did a bunch of stuff with My Block, My Hood, My City.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they've done Athletes for Justice was involved. Like I remember learning some stuff about that around Radiothon times and when I was doing research on that sort of thing. So like the organizations in town, they do good philanthropic work and they keep it here. And I know that some of this is PR and it's feel good and it's for social media impressions and, you know, but it just, it struck me as so thoughtful. Like, that was last 4th of July, right? We're coming up on, that's 11 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so to just kind of like follow it through and see that story, follow Cooper's story, figure out that he loved going to the beach, knowing about an organization that could help him,
wow. Making
that connection, bringing him out there.
Absolutely beautiful.
It was just so clearly thoughtful.
I'm reading a quote from his mom, Cooper's mom, saying every time we've talked to him about it, he would start to laugh and then start to tear up. He'd say, "Mom, I have my own beach wheelchair. The Bears gave it to me." And he left there believing the Bears players are his friends and it means something to him.
Yeah, it was just... It's worth it. Like the video on their social media channels is worth it. Cooper's smile was amazing. And you know, like when you get a gift that it like kind of shocks you by how thoughtful it was.
Yeah. Like Shane's, the chainmail glove that he has.
Yeah.
For cutting
right. Exactly. Same thing. Yeah. I'm like,
it did puncture the skin apparently.
You can't.
Okay. Yeah, it doesn't work that well.
Shot a bloody situation over there.
But still very thoughtful.
Of course it was.
It just...
Yes, sometimes somebody gives a gift and you're like, oh my God, yeah,
like, absolutely. Like, that's more thoughtful than like just the act of a check or even buying the wheelchair, right? Like, just like the whole thing was so well done. I just like...
I agree.
Hats off to the Bears, man. That was an incredibly... well done gesture.
I totally agree, and I'm glad you pointed it out. I also think that Jan Wanstead thinking there must be something out there for chefs who cut their hands a lot.
Also incredibly thoughtful.
Okay.
Now I can say that I've gotten a gift from Jan Wanstead who handled all the calls from Scottie Pippen and Sammy Sosa when they wanted to be in the Dolphins.
When they wanted free hookups for them and all of their people
Scottie
at the Dolphins
and
game.
Sammy leaning on that and not coming alone.
They didn't come alone.
Yeah, he stressed that on and off air. Let me tell you.
Unbelievable.
Jed Hoyer, in a moment of honesty, on potentially an opportunity missed. Next on The Score.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.